Every time we hear these readings at this time of the year, something new always comes forward. Some of you may be saying, oh, yeah, I remember reading that or hearing that. But when you have to stand up here before good people like yourself, we're always trying to search for that thing that is a little bit different that might connect us at this time. One of the things that comes to mind for me is that when a family find out that they're expecting a child, it used to be that it was always such a surprise. Is it a boy or is it a girl? And those days seem to have gone right behind us now because people want to get things ready and have the right colours, I guess. I'm not quite sure how it all works. But people are very keen, it seems to me these days, to know the gender of the child that is going to be born. Seems as though that's the way to go. Now, some of you may say, yes, it is a new trend, isn't it? Well, just reflect on the gospel. It's not a new trend. Both Elizabeth and Mary knew that they were having boys. I mean, spoiler alert, you know it's going to be a boy. Tomorrow we celebrate. So it's not actually anything new, but there is something new that comes out of it as this generation unfolds. And the whole understanding of what family is now is very different than what it was when the scriptures were first put together. So the times that we live in and the culture that we live in, they all are impacted by us as the people who make up the culture. And then look at our culture. Our culture is made up of people who, we could say, have faith. Some have Christian faith, some have other faith, some have no faith at all. But the bringing together of all of those people make our culture what it is. In Canberra, in these days, we have a culture that is very mixed. We have families that are very mixed. Blended is the word that is often used. So we can't say that one size fits all. The only thing that is common, I guess, at this time of the year for all of us, whether we are people of faith or not, is that you're going to have a holiday. That's about it for most people. There will be some shops open on Christmas Day. There will be some shops that will absolutely never open. And that's all changed in Australia and the makeup of Australia and our culture over the years as well. When many of you were very little, things like Anzac Day, Easter, Christmas, they were sacred either for the religious reason or because there was a major football game happening or cricket happening, the other religion in Australia. So, and this, I'm not criticising, I'm just saying we need to be aware that as a culture and as a people on the planet, we move, we are shaped by the events that take place around us, and we are also, each and every one of us, shapers of those events. We all have a role to play, whether we're aware of it or not. That role might be that we actually support those who are trying to make a living at this time. We talk about cost of living crisis, we talk about floods and fires and small communities and big communities and rental crisis, the homeless, we talk about domestic violence. I'm just reading something at the moment. It is astounding to me that in Australia, statistically, a woman will be murdered every week by somebody that she knows. So there are very, very sobering things that are happening in our culture, and that will shape where our government, who we elected, where they will draw us by laws that will help make our society better. Reflecting back onto the time of King David here in the first reading, and then particularly the gospel that Luke has given us, those times were challenging as well. They were very challenging. They too were very bloodthirsty. And there were really two streams of people. There were the people that had faith, the Jewish faith, that it was inherited, and then there were those that were commonly called Gentile or pagan or people of no faith. Now, we still have the same in our society today, but overarching all of that in the time of Jesus was a military dictatorship, if you like, the Roman Empire, which also then shaped the culture of the people. Now, we don't have that, but we do observe it on our television every time we turn it on. The dictatorships that rule and shape the culture of the world, and they help shape our response to what do we do in such troubled times. And then for those of us with faith, we come forward with the words of peace and joy and happiness or merry, whatever your usage is for Christmas. And it seems that there's possibly a disconnect between where we are in the world and what's going on in the world. But when we say things like peace be with you and Merry Christmas, it is an expression of our hope for you as an individual and for society and the whole world. When we say peace, it's not something I want you to pop in your pocket and just tuck it away in your drawer with your socks and hankies later. It is something that we actually want to be falling upon you and in you and help creating you. It's like the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Mary. And that's what unfolded in her life. For David, for King David, he was the king who brought the two kingdoms together, the northern kingdom of Israel and the bottom kingdom of Judah. He brought them together. They were enemies. They were from the same family originally, but they were enemies and he united them. And what we get today in the first reading is, in David's time, was build me a house. And the word that is used in there is tabernacle. And the word tabernacle comes from the Hebrew word for tent. Now, the tent was hugely important for the Israelites. They were a people who moved from Egypt to the Holy Land, to the land of Palestine. They did that. How did they do that? They did that by packing up their tent. You might recall that also when Moses came down, they had what was the Holy of Holies, and they put it in a tent and carried the tent with them. So the tent was both a sign of stability, their union with God, and it was also something that was mobile. It was movable. It wasn't locked in cement. And we need to remember that, I think, this time in what's happening in the world and in our lives, that God is stable in our lives. He is the constant. But how he is experienced is movable. It changes quite a lot for all of us, depending on what's going on, who we are, the depth and the breadth of our own faith. For some of us, our faith might actually be sleeping and it'll be woken up by, perhaps by one person in this church who says to that person, I wish you a happy Christmas. I wish you peace this Christmas. It might just be the key that unlocks that peace for that person. So God's presence, whilst in the tabernacle, is also moving, living, breathing, giving us our being. So that's King David. And that's where the line of Joseph comes from. Mary is from the line of Levi, the priestly family in the Jewish families. And what we get today is the coming together of the royal family of David, and we have the priestly family of Levi through Mary coming together. And that's why Luke puts forward the image of Mary becoming the mother of God in that particular way. It is not important to John in John's gospel. It doesn't even get any mention. It's not important to Mark in his gospel. Both Mark and John wrote their gospels starting with Jesus as a man. But Luke and Matthew started with Jesus as an infant. The nativity scene, which St. Francis gave us 800 years ago, the nativity scene is really important. Who Jesus was and where he comes from was very important for Luke and for Matthew for different reasons. And Luke, I'm telling you, it is to make sure that we in our world, in our time, understand that God is both embedded in who we are, and he moves in who we are as a people, as an individual, as a culture. The constant is his presence. The thing that is challenging for us at times is seeing that presence, and then what do we do with that presence? So here today in the readings you have the gospel with the tent that holds the Holy of all Holies. And then, moving forward, we have Mary, whose womb becomes the Holy of Holies, that which contains the body of the Saviour of the world. When we bring those two things together, the key for your salvation and mine is unlocked. And we need to be aware of that. And our challenge is now, my salvation has been handed to me. What am I doing with it? Am I accepting it or am I rejecting it? But it has been brought into my life in my times. And you might think, no, that's not working. Well, let me reassure you again in the words of Luke's gospel. Please don't doubt, because nothing is impossible to God.